Jones whenever you want him.
We're not going to do this every week.
Download the Adam Jones podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Violet Brown driving.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
The game on lock for sure.
Celtics made a little run at it early in the fourth quarter, but we've heard this song before. The Celtics dig themselves a big hole. No Jaylen Brown, a rough night for Jason Tatum. And the Chicago Bulls, another team headed for the lottery that takes the season series from the Celtics. We now enter the two biggest games of the year by far. The two-game series with Miami will begin with the Celtics. Just three games over 500. The final score, Chicago 121, Boston 99.
I mean, their size and length hurt us in our game at our place, and it really hurt us tonight. We had to overreact some to that and some to their opportunities, and then they got to spraying it around in the second quarter, made some shots. We did not have a good shooting night. You know, had some turnovers that probably didn't give us a chance to cut it back in when we had our chances. But they're a tough matchup for us.
Oh, so they're a tough matchup. That's why you lost. Wow, okay. All right. Because here's the thing, Brad Stevens, and to the rest of the Celtics. Welcome into the Sports Up Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you, if you'd like to join us, 617-779-0985. The last time the Celtics played the Bulls, Chicago, who stinks, lottery team, as you just heard there from Sean Grandy in the final call of the game, had lost 5 of 6, Chris, in 13 of 18. Celtics lost that game. Coming into last night, the Bulls had lost 4 of 5 and 11 of 16. Celtics lost that game. Yeah, they had a bad shooting night. Yep, there's some size disadvantages there in Chicago, but you're a better team than them. And this has been their calling card all year long, Chris, just their consistent inconsistency. It's almost like you got to set a watch to that. Like, you know, maybe a little bit of wind in their sails after they beat a G League Orlando team. But, yep. You know, that was their first time in a while from whistle to whistle, a real complete game from them. And, you know,
they're masters of front running and beating up on the G League teams like OKC and Orlando.
Sure. Well, they lost to OKC the last time they played them, but
that's true. Fair point.
But all that being said, it was like, okay, all right, maybe they're starting to get things right. I didn't believe that, but I can understand why, you know, your true Celtics hardcore is looking at them and saying, like, do we know what this team is? Yes, I mean, you look at last night, what we know is that they're consistently inconsistent and extremely frustrating. It's why I think, at best, their ceiling for me is you maybe win a series, and that's that. We'll see, because they can't get the hell out of their own way. That last night, though, it's pathetic. There's no other word I think you can use for this team right now. In a loss like that last night, it's absolutely pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, the only other word I would use would be maddening, because it just keeps happening. And, you know, I couldn't have been flying any higher last week when we did the show. You know, I was in the building for the 32-point yep. comeback. Jason Tatum scores 60 points. And what did I say? I said on the show, I said, okay, we'll see if they can sustain momentum from this. Can they do that? Because they haven't been able to do it all year long. And were they able to do it? Nope. They've lost 2 of 3 since then. And the only team they beat was G League Orlando, which had 9 players, 2 of which had to leave the game with injury and eventually came back. But, I mean, basically that was the NBA equivalent of a forfeit. And what bothers me the most about this game last night and this effort, if you want to call it that, air quotes for everybody other than Kemba, this was a big game for them. And you could just tell by the energy and the effort that they weren't playing it like it was a big game. And I'm the first person that believes that too often, particularly in these chairs, we speak about effort and we are in a position where we conflate lack of execution for lack of effort. But last night I thought was lack of effort. They just didn't play the game with the same intensity, or I'll use a Scalabrine word, force, that the Bulls did. The Bulls were in a situation where they're like, look, we're probably going to Cancun. Our season's probably over. One more loss and we're done. But let's keep this thing alive. You know, we can't afford another loss. Let's play like it.
Oh, look at the way that Zach LaVine played. He was playing a playoff game.
I know he was. Oh, I love Zach LaVine too. Yeah. Good thing the Bridges made the playoffs that year and got swept by LeBron, so you can miss out on him and Devin Booker and Miles Turner and all those other guys I told you guys at the time that it was worthless to make the playoffs for, which it completely was. But they just did not play the game like it mattered to them, and it really mattered to them. And that's what's frustrating to me. And Jason Tatum, he's young, and I get it. But if you want to be the man, if you want to be all NBA again, if you want to be regarded, if you want all the Jason Tatum stands out there who say we're too tough on him and this, that, and the other, then in one of the biggest games of the season, you can't go out there and lay a total egg and basically not make any impact on the game. Like, I get it, your shot wasn't falling. 3 of 15, 0 of 7 from 3. But do you know he was a minus 22 last night? The worst of anybody who stepped on the floor, Jason Tatum. You can't have that. You have to find a way to affect the game positively for your team in another manner when your shot's not falling.
So you believe it really starts with him last night. He's the one you look at and say, like, he came out, you know, like he could just half-ass it and they were going to beat this team.
He kind of came out like, I'm going to come out here and, you know, get my 30 and we'll probably win. And when it didn't happen right away, I didn't see any real sustained effort to find another way to impact the team and increase the chance of winning. I didn't see it, you know, and this, the inconsistency of him. I mean, if we're going to give him all the plaudits when he scores 60 points and puts the team on his back for an amazing comeback, then you also have to deal with the idea that you have to shoulder the blame because you're the guy, capital T, capital G. When the team loses a game it absolutely cannot afford to lose, and you come out and play terribly and don't do anything in any way, shape, or form to positively impact the team's chances of winning.
So here they are, seventh seed, 67 games in. That now looks like they're going to have to sweep the Heat over these next two games. And
they can do it.
They can?
They absolutely can do it.
Yeah. Do you believe that they will?
Sweep? No, I think they'll split. But could they sweep them? Yeah, they could. I mean, it's just... The interesting thing with the Celtics, and we've seen it all year long, and you see it a little bit in the San Antonio game, and even last night when they cut it to 8 and had a chance to cut it to 5 and couldn't convert on the 3. When they feel like their backs are against the wall, they play a certain way. The problem is, like a lot of, you know, people in this day and age in our society, Jim, they lack self-awareness. They don't know when their backs are actually against the wall a lot of times until it's too late. This entire season, just looking at the 30,000-foot view right now, every game you play from here on out, your back is against the wall. Your back is against the wall, and you have to play it that way. Instead, you can't wait until you're down 20 or 21 to say, oh, we'll just flip the switch now. We'll turn it on now.
Oh, it's so annoying, too. Like, as you know, in that third quarter, it was like you could set a watch to it. Like, oh, now they realize their backs are against the wall. Now we're going to try. And defensively, they were good for a stretch. It just shows you again, though, it doesn't take much to push this team off the beam of when they're riding high and things seem to be going well for them. They're just not a very mentally strong team. They're not. So here they are, seventh seed. Those of you chanting, and maybe you were one of them, Chris, last week around this time, or at least on Friday night, MVP, MVP, when Jason Tatum was at the free throw line.
He was so good in that game.
He was, but you know, last night is the microcosm of why I still get so frustrated by this kid. Like, you know, like you said, okay, your shot's not dropping, but find another way, facilitate a little bit more. And he didn't give you much on defense. What did you say he was, a minus 22?
Minus 22.
Minus 22.
The worst of anybody who took the floor this year, and his second worst of the season. He was a minus 28 on April 25th against Charlotte. Minus 22 is his second worst plus minus of the season. Also, from just a scoring standpoint, this is his second worst game of the season, tied for it. Three times this year, he's been held under double digits. And this was the third time he had 9 points. He also had 9 points against Indiana back in February. And this is like the COVID. This is around the COVID time. And then he had 6 points against Washington on Valentine's Day. So this no COVID excuse for this one for him. It was just a clunker. He's had some clunkers this year. 3 of 14, 4 of 18, 3 of 15, 4 of 20, 3 of 17, another 3 of 17. I'm just looking at his game logs. He's had some clunkers this year. He really has.
And that's, again, that speaks to the consistent inconsistency of this team. Like, last night, Walker, great. Fournier, I think, was good, too. But, like, on a night-to-night basis, you don't know what you're going to get. You'll have 1 to 3 players are going to play really well, and the rest are, like, garbage. And so you're not getting, again, I don't need to see 30, 35 points, 60 from Jason Tatum. But at least show me that you care. Like, in a night like last night, it looked like, and I hate these games where I watch him. I'm like, it looks like you don't even want to be there. It's just, that's so frustrating to me. Tom and Quincy, you're first up here on the Sports Up Celtics show today. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? So my first question for you is, who on the Celtics do I need to Venmo request for all my gambling losses this year? This is getting ridiculous. When I bet for them, they don't cover. When I bet against them, they cover. It's like, I literally owe them my car payments. Like, that's all on me, but whatever. But, guys, this all goes back to Danny Ainge giving Brad Stevens his extension way too early, man. Way too early. And now he's trapped with them. Like, the team doesn't respond. They clearly aren't. Like, the fact that Tatum goes out there like that with that lackluster performance when your back's against the wall shows that he's not emotionally involved as he should be. That's all I got.
All right, thanks, Tom. And watch out for the repo, man. You don't want to be missing car payments.
So, you know, we've talked a lot about Brad. Obviously, there's some sort of disconnect there. But the reality is, again, you know, I've talked to enough people and on and off the record, Brad's not going anywhere. If anything happens, I think in the offseason, they'll shake up the composition of the team. You know, there's either going to be change with the big C or change with the small C. I think it's more likely small C change, which would be like, you know, Marcus Smart gone and maybe Tristan Thompson. Because last night, you know how I feel about Tristan Thompson. I don't think he's a bad player. I just don't think he was the ideal fit for them, and I didn't like giving him the full mid-level. Did you see Zach LaVine, like, you know, just sashay down the lane and do like double pump dunks, and they were just getting into the lane at will.
That's why Brad put Taco
out there, because he wanted more length, and at least Taco could kind of contest and force the Bulls to pull it back out. The Bulls had no fear about attacking the rim or going to the rim. And this is the thing I said when they signed Tristan Thompson back in the offseason. He's not a rim protector anymore. At one point in his career, he was. He's not. He's still a pretty rugged player. He's still a pretty good rebounder. But he's an overrated defender at this point of his career, and he's not a deterrent. And this was a game where they really missed Robert Williams, who I think is entering Triskett knee territory, as you would say.
Well, I'm glad you brought him up, because we're going to get an update on his status. And yeah, they clearly missed him last night. We'll get more on Robert Williams with Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston. He's going to join us next here in the Sports Hub Celtics show. And if you're hanging, I promise we'll get to your calls, because there's a lot to vent about with this underachieving Celtics team here on the Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown, and home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This was a tough night matchup-wise for us. They put us in a bind in a lot of ways. Vucevic's skill passing and Vucevic's skill shooting. And then I thought Tice's activity was really good. I thought Thaddeus Young did some good things. Markkanen isn't playing as much at the five right now as those other guys, but they gave us fits. But I believe in our guys, and we're just going to have to find the right fit while Robert's out.
Yeah, good luck with that, Brad Stevens. No Robert Williams out indefinitely with turf toe? There's no turf. Yeah. Floor foot, maybe? I have a different term for it. But the Celtics lose to the lowly Bulls last night, 121-99. For more on what's going on with Robert Williams, joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. It's been a minute, but always good to talk to our pal, Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston. Hey, Chris.
What up?
Are you okay? Have you got out of bed? Are you battling the depression of not having Robert Williams?
Look, it's been a tough 24 hours, I'm not going to lie. I've got 74 browser windows open trying to figure out how to cure turf toe and what can be done. All joking aside, it's pretty catastrophic when you think about the moves they made at the deadline and moving Daniel Tice, you know, left them paper thin at the big man position. And we saw last night, it's not as easy as throwing Luke Kornet and Taco Fall out there. And there's a decided drop off when you go from Rob and Tristan to what's behind them. And so, you know, Rob, I think Grant Williams will give you some minutes at that five spot, but I'm really concerned, especially as Miami comes in. You know, what the heck do you do with Bam Adebayo without having a guy like Rob on that back line? So Celtics have been really good when Rob was out there. Not only do, like, as much as I shake the pom-poms, you look at the numbers, 10-2 as a starter, and their offense just looks better. They move the ball. So They've got to get creative to figure out how this is. Now, and again, like, I don't know how long he's going to be out. Brad didn't sound particularly optimistic in saying that he didn't know his availability for the week. Like I said, in these 74 browser tabs I have open, it seems to range from maybe a week could help him to 3 weeks to, like, this could be something that bugs him his whole career. I don't know where my optimism meter falls right just yet.
So, Chris, take us back. When did this happen? Because if this was the hip, because he's had the hip issue, so that would at least be a little bit more understandable to me. This, I feel like, came out of nowhere. Do you know when it happened and how it happened?
The only thing they said was that he thought about not playing on Wednesday night against the Magic, and so that he was pretty close to sitting out then. You know, it sounds like it's something where, especially for high impact guys and jumpers and leapers, this is something that can flare on, and I guess it most commonly in your big toe. You know, obviously the way Rob plays and above the rim and the explosiveness, it's concerning when it's that area of your body and the foot. So, but that's the one thing I keep going back to is they sort of knew this going into the trade deadline that Rob had a history, whether it was the hip or other minor ailments of having a trouble staying on the floor. So, you know, they kind of knew what they were signing up for, even as they ramped up his minutes, that it's a different injury from the hip is a little frustrating, I'm sure, for everyone involved. But I'm eager to hear what this meeting with specialists turns up and gives us a better idea of his timeline. But, you know, it's just something that as you read up on it, man, some guys have had it linger, and that's my concern with Rob.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, on the football side, I've seen that injury, and normally it does linger. It's the type of thing where you have to get to an off season and really get off your feet before it goes away. So I hope that's not the case for Rob Williams, but I'm not expecting that he will be fully recovered by the time that he returns eventually to the Celtics. I want to ask you about Tristan Thompson, since we're talking about the bigs. Is he giving them what they need with Robert Williams out? I mean, I think he's been solid, but for what he is in terms of the full mid-level, I just look at it and think he's not really a rim protector at this point of his career. And without Robert Williams, he can't provide any of those things that Robert Williams can provide.
Yeah, it's definitely different when he's out there. I mean, he gives you a little bit of physicality, a little bit of offensive rebounding, but just like you said, it's just such a departure from Rob in terms of the ball movement and the vertical spacing and the attention he draws on those rim rolls. You know, you got to kind of change a little bit of everything about the way you run that first unit offense. And that's what's hard for me is, like, they look really good when Rob's out there. All of a sudden, the spacing is just different. It clogs up a little bit with Tristan down in the block. Now, those offensive rebounds can help. He's been better in recent weeks about when he actually gets an offensive rebound, kicking it out to a shooter instead of just trying to muscle his way back up. And that was huge. I don't know what the light switch moment was there, but they finally kind of imparted that on him. But I go back to, like, I always thought in the playoffs, it was going to be a pretty even split between Tristan and Rob, and, you know, maybe matchups based, you deploy them one guy a little bit more than the other. How do you fill 24 minutes if Rob's not out there with, between Taco, Cornette, Grant Williams? Like, it gets a lot more dicey, and this is the hard part about, like, figuring out how they maximize those other 24.
So can I scratch an itch here then? Because I always go back to the Tristan Thompson thing and what's going on with, you know, Robert Williams. So I'll ask it again. I've asked it many times. I think you know where I stand on it. Should they have accepted the Miles Turner trade? You know, if you had Miles Turner and Rob Williams instead of Tristan Thompson and Rob Williams, obviously you wouldn't have Fournier. I get that, but you probably would have Doug McDermott. You'd also have a first-round pick. You might have one of the Holiday brothers or Jeremy Lamb instead of McDermott. Would they have been better off with that?
So you zagged on me. I thought you were gonna put the Tice trade in the spotlight.
No, I'm just saying on this one. I mean, I know Miles Turner can at least challenge at the rim.
Yeah, so, like, look, you've heard me say it before. I wasn't particularly high on paying Miles Turner $18 million for the next 3 years to be your center, and the Celtics have consistently shown they don't want to pay big money for that position when the premium in the league is on wings. And but certainly in hindsight, you can sit here and say it would be a lot better right now if you had a Miles Turner to lean on. I go back to it. Like, the thing I keep coming back to on that deal is just, I have to believe he went to his players and said, here's what we can get from Indiana. How do you feel about this? You just spent 2 months overseas with this guy in FIBA, core of my team. How do you feel about this? And my guess is none of those guys went to bat and said, you know, I don't know. It's Miles Turner, and it's $18 million a year. And so, like, I think they explored a whole bunch of ways that they did make that move about other deals they could have made if the, with the pieces they've got. I think there would have been other shoes that dropped and guys would have been sent in different directions to maybe fill other areas of need. Ultimately, it never got to the point where they were either eager enough to make that deal. And then once Michael Jordan swooped in with that money, it became a moot point. So, look, what happens with Fournier this season will dictate a lot more about how I feel about that trade overall. And if they just let him walk, or if, God forbid, we're talking about a trade exception for another year, please just like, oh, my head's going to explode. But, you know, for now, I just, it's easy to look now when they're thin at the big man spot. Like they could have filled that void. It wouldn't be as much of a glaring issue to me if they had hung on to Tice.
And I'll just say real quickly before I turn it back over to Jim here, you know, the thing for me when I look at it is $18 million sounds like a lot now for Turner, but it's also the type of contract you could move. I look at Turner's $18 million now the same way I looked at when they signed Avery Bradley to that deal, and we were all like, oh my God, that's way too much for Avery Bradley. You look back 2-3 years later, it's not that much. And $18 million is the type of contract that can help you bridge a deal down the line.
Fair, totally fair about like tradable contracts. This team, every time we bring up a deal, it involves Marcus Smart, right? Because he has the only tradable salary, and Miles Turner would have fit into that a little bit better than anyone else on that roster.
Well, I was going to say, so how about this second guest, though? A guy you're watching them play against last night. Like, why didn't Ainge just go get Vucevic? What was the ask? 2 first-round picks and a young player? Like, do you second-guess that one now?
Like a little bit, but like if he's trying to match up the parts, I think it would have been a little bit more daunting. Like, who's your Wendell Carter? Are you trading Rob in that deal? I think I would have been a little bit hesitant, as much as the injury history is there. You guys know I'm extremely high on what he can bring. And so, you know, if you have to do that and the multiple first round picks, it gets prohibitive. My guess is they know they need those first round picks moving forward, both in terms of building out this roster and, you know, potentially if you have to move off of a Kemba Walker deal or whatever the next step is after this year and those harder decisions that loom. So I think that was made it a little bit more cumbersome. But yeah, I was as surprised as anybody when Vucevic got moved. And, you know, I know it's a guy that Danny Ainge definitely liked, but maybe the cost was just too much at that point. And it, again, you know, you're left second guessing because of their current center situation.
Is my guy Aaron Nesmith officially out of the doghouse? And in some of these lineups, I mean, obviously we expect Jaylen to come back for these games against the Heat. They're just too big. But in some of these games where they don't have Jaylen or they're missing a starter, any chance that he put Nesmith in the starting lineup, like swap him out with Smart?
Interesting. He's really loved running him with Pritchard. They have like a good two-man net rating for the last couple of games since Nesmith re-elevated. I mean, I guess you got to start thinking about those sort of things, going smaller and leaning on the guys that can at least give you energy. Like, isn't that the number one thing that's most aggravating about watching this team? And I guess they've had the injury woes and all that, but it's mostly the thing I keep coming back to is just this, like, general lethargy, listlessness. Like, how are they down 10 points last night? Kemba was out there trying. Fournier was trying. But, like, you know, you couldn't get Jason Tatum going. And sometimes this team just needs that turbo shot, and Nesmith tends to provide it. You know, now thinking that he's going to just remedy this thing on his own is a little bit ambitious, but I do hope he doesn't fade from the rotation, even into the playoffs, if they're healthy. I just think I like what he brings. I like the hustle. I was a little bit mystified when he disappeared in February, and I guess at that point they just needed some ball movers, and the offense was bogging down a bit, but it gave him motivation to come back and really ramp up his intensity. So makes me feel a little bit better about that pick, and hopefully he continues. Like, I just think they need these young guys to develop, and Brad struggles with that balance sometimes of letting them.
Oh boy, does he
develop? Well, and so, you know, like, look, but every coach has some sort of a blind spot, and I get it. There's a lot of pressure to win, and it's hard to put those rookies in there at times. But man, I part of me sits here and wonders what it'd look like for Aaron Nesmith if he had been getting 15, 20 minutes a night. But maybe, you know, again, we're not there in the limited practices they have. Maybe he just was not ready. And certainly he found motivation in the fact that he didn't play through much of March and April.
Let me just put it to you like this, Forsberg. Aaron Nesmith is my Robert Williams.
Ooh. I'm with you. Like, if I'm prez of Rob Williams, can I be vice prez with you of Aaron Nesmith?
Because yes.
I just feel like there are players that you watch that don't necessarily put up points and the stats early on, but you watch them and you say, oh, I get it. Like, this is how they can help this team. And no matter how many shots Nesmith missed at the start of his pro career, I was like, well, that's gonna change. He's just too good of a shooter. But then when you watched him making the hustle plays, I was like, man, this is exactly what this team doesn't have when Marcus Smart especially isn't on the floor. So I need more of those energy givers, more of those guys that are willing to risk breaking their leg, going to the basket to get an offensive rebound and crashing to the floor and all that. So I'm bullish on where he's going, even though I'll admit I was more of a Sadiq Bey guy in the draft. You know, Nesmith has shown me something that I didn't see in that small sample at Vanderbilt with the grit and the energy, and they need more of it.
Quick prediction time before we let you go, Forsberg. A week from this Monday, May 17th, are we talking about this team in the play-in and facing someone like, you know, Bradley Beal and the Wizards, or have they improved their seeding?
Celtics Hornets, baby, get fired up. 7-8 matchup, like, sell the print the tickets. Look, it's hard for me to say based on the way they played that they're going to go out there and win two in a row against Miami, and which is pretty much what they need to do to guarantee themselves that sixth spot. If they split, they still have the tiebreaker, but you're still a game behind, and you're left kind of hoping they stumble. And nothing about the way the Celtics have played suggests to me that even if they do split, that they're going to win the last three, especially when they could have a pretty important game against the Knicks there in the final game. So I guess while the odds still favor that sixth spot, I'm a little bit growing concerned that it's ultimately going to be the seven, and you're going to have to grind through a play-in game against the Hornets, who have given you trouble at times. Like, how ironic would it be if Gordon Hayward's back out there for the play-in game and Terry Rozier and Wanamaker? Yeah, I know. You want to talk about really bringing this thing full circle. So I'm just resigning myself to the play-in game, and we'll see if they can figure out how to finally it just sounds so ridiculous to say that they're going to finally figure out how to crank it up after 67 games. But, you know, it's a weird season.
From the Eastern Conference Finals to the NBA play-in. Yeah, that's tough to take.
All right. Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Thanks for taking the time, friend.
Rob, get healthy. If you need a tow, I'll donate mine. Please.
Take care, bud.
Thank you, guys.
Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, too. So, again, like, you got to look at some of these crap teams that are left, too. So, Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
They've lost 9 in a row, 14 of 16. They have two more games before they play the Celtics on Wednesday. The last time they played each other on St. Patrick's Day, Celtics lost. Like, you can't – I said this going into this last stretch, Chris. You can't look at any of these games and say, oh, that's a win. Like, last night, too. Oh, they'll beat the Bulls. Yeah, okay. Like, these crap – they play down to these crap teams. It wouldn't shock me if they ended up sweeping Miami with these two games and then play the Cavs and lose to them.
Can I add another thing quickly here, just the way the schedule breaks down that I'm sort of intrigued by? When you get to the end here, you have two sets of back-to-backs. So you play Miami on the 11th, that's a Tuesday, and then you have to play at Cleveland on Wednesday. Does Kemba play?
Right.
Or is Kemba out? And then to end the season, it's at Minnesota
Saturday,
a week from today, and then Sunday at New York. So does Kemba sit out against the Knicks? Does Kemba sit out against Minnesota? Are we still doing this? Because, I mean, obviously in the playoffs, you're not going to have back-to-back games, on back-to-back days, I mean. And he'll be able to play, but are they going to ride this all the way through? Or do they say, nope, we're in the playoffs because we have to avoid the play-in? Kemba starts playing now, like it's playoff mode.
Your calls on the Celtics coming up next here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Playing's been terrific for him. And, you know, obviously I think that he has benefited greatly from his own hard work, the plan that our medical staff put together with him. But his execution of it is the key to it. So strengthening that knee, having those extra nights off, you know, are all part of trying to feel great when the, you know, towards the end of the season. You know, it's been challenging, not because we've, you know, we've known he was going to miss the second night of back-to-backs. The other stuff has been challenging going through the year, but he's done a good job with this, and he looks good.
Brad Stevens on Kemba Walker, who was good in last night's loss to the Bulls. But it's a good point you brought up in the end of the last segment, Chris. Like, what are you going to get out of him? How much is he going to play with some of these back-to-backs in this last stretch?
I don't know. I mean, if I'm the Celtics, no. Again, when I had Danny Ainge on my Take 5 podcast, he said that...
It sounded like he wanted him to play as much as possible, I thought.
Well, he basically was saying that it was precautionary, that Kemba could probably play back-to-backs right now. And that was... I had him on, what, 2 weeks ago? So I guess we'll find out just how much the Celtics want to sort of cushion him and cosset him here. I think that you're going to need these games. I would think he's going to have to play. And at least the, you know, one set of these back-to-backs, he's going to have to play in both games.
I think you have him play both games against Miami. Give him 4 days off. And if he needs to start that last game against New York, then, you know, he'll be rested. But the bottom line is with this team, too. If given what they have, and let's assume Brown's back.
Yeah.
If you can't beat the Timberwolves and the stupid Cavaliers without Kemba Walker, you don't deserve better seating. You deserve to be in the stupid play-in round, this team this year. Oh, my God. They're just what a wretched ride it's been.
It's been tough, man. I mean, the highs have been so high, but the lows are so low, and they just have not been able to get any momentum. And the analogy I keep using is sort of this idea of every time you think they've turned a corner, you realize that they're, like, still – stuck going around and round in a circle. You know, it's like they're stuck. It's like they're stuck in one of those corn mazes or something. It's like, okay, like they turned the corner, they found their way out. Oh, nope, nope. Oh, now they're right back where they started. Like, nope, they're never going to get out of here.
Rory in New Hampshire on last night's game. Go ahead.
How you doing, gentlemen? Love the show. Chris, no disrespect, but this is going to be a Murray love fest.
All right, unlike all about it.
Unlike that guy in the earlier call who's lost money, I've done nothing but make bank on Murray's predictions. Murray, you called it yesterday. I loved it. You said, don't be surprised if they lose. I immediately went to the bookie, placed my bet, cashed in big. And my big question for you guys is, seeing as how the Celtics are playing, everyone talks about Garoppolo. Did he make the right decision? Did he make the wrong decision? Do you think that Brad Stevens made the right decision staying with this wretched freaking team that has obviously tuned him out? I'll listen off the air, guys. Great show.
Thanks, Rory.
Interesting point, Rory. I would say yes. I mean, he's making a ton of money. He has ultimate job security from what I understand. And I think they'll change the composition of the team before the coach. The other thing that I think I didn't account for and that people aren't accounting for now in college basketball is what's going on with the transfers. And it's no longer just about recruiting guys. Now it's about recruiting them to stay. If he had taken that Indiana job just from a family standpoint, what you have to do for recruiting to rebuild that program, and then also what you have to do in terms of just the constant scouting, evaluation, recruiting of guys on your own team to keep them from leaving, of evaluating guys who are in the transfer portal. I think that had an effect on Brad Stevens' decision. Going back to college basketball for him, it wouldn't be going back to the college basketball that he knew. College basketball has changed with the transfer rule.
Steve in Medford on the Celtics last night. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's
good?
Up?
Good. So, Obviously, last night was pretty horrible, and it's just, you know, the longer the season goes, the more it's just, you know, slowly, you know, killing me by the day. But I did have a question on a player I think the Celtics should target in the offseason that we saw last night, Lauri Markkanen. So, as you guys know, he is a restricted free agent over the summer. And, Chris, I know you're really high on players that are not playing as much.
Yep. He's on my list.
Environment. Yeah, and Lauri Markkanen seems like now that Tice has got there, he seems to be on the way out. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Lauri Markkanen's like 23, 24. He seems to be, you know, on the right trend with Jalen and Jason. Do you think that's a guy that Celtics should target? And I'm sure they would have to give up first-round picks because they can't outright sign him because of the restricted free agency rules. But I think he's worth a gamble with the first-round picks because I think the guy has talent. I just think he needs more minutes and more of a prominent role on a team. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with you. He's like on my list with guys like Lonnie Walker of the Spurs, who I feel the same way. Yeah, I like Markkanen. You know, he's sort of a tweener. He's between a four and a five. He can shoot well enough to be a stretch four, though his shooting hasn't been great this year. But I think in some small ball lineups, even though he's 7'3", but in some small ball lineups, he could play center. You know, he's just not really rugged enough to play center over the long haul. But I would be interested in him. And I think that's something, honestly, the Celtics could use is sort of a stretch four type guy. Jim and I were talking off the air, and I was saying this offseason, if they make some changes, you know, maybe you talk to the Hawks about Danilo Gallinari, if they try and shed a contract to be able to get John Collins that max deal. Gallinari's a guy that Danny Ainge has always liked. That's another component to this team that maybe would help. So, yeah, I would be on board with pursuing a possible deal for Markkanen. Now, it comes down to what's the contract you have to give him. You know, that matters as well. But I do think Markkanen's on that list of young guys that I like that probably just need a change of scenery and a more prominent, defined role.
Any concern with him and his injury history? I'm looking at some of the games played here. He's played more than 52 games only once, and that's 68. Yeah. So is that any kind of a concern?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a concern, and that's one of the issues with him is injuries and the fact that he's sort of in between. He definitely can play the four, but he should be big enough to play five in some really lethal offensive lineups, but he can't stay on the court, and he's just not physical enough. He gets abused down there.
Tommy and Lynn with a Celtics thought. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Tommy.
How are you guys doing today?
Very good, Tommy.
All right, guys, this Celtics team all year round, it's been an achievement. And these kids, these young players, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, I think they mute out Brad Stevens. I don't know why they mute him out. They shouldn't be muting him out, and I don't think they have it in them this year. They don't have a heart and soul. And if they do lose to the Heat tomorrow and Monday, they're going to be in big trouble, and they're going to be playing in the playing round. And I say they're going to get bounced in the first round in that tournament.
Ooh, certainly looks that way right now, Tommy. Thanks for the call. Have a good rest of your week.
Well, I mean, even, you know, again, just the play-in, I know it's a lot of people don't know about it. I mean, if they're going to finish 7 or 8. You know, if they're in the play-in. So even if they lose that, then they would just play the winner of 9-10. So they have two shots to make it into the real playoffs.
This is the only year they're doing it, right? Because they had the shortened schedule.
I mean, they did it last year. Hopefully this isn't something going forward, but I wouldn't.
Well, that was I thought it was just going to be like for the bubble. I thought this was they were doing it this year. I know LeBron hates the thing.
I mean, I don't love it. I don't like this. Let me put it like this. I'm okay with it, but I don't like this format. I think the format should be a little bit different in terms of the way you do it. And I think that the teams that finish in 7 and 8, it should be a scenario where any of those teams to beat them that finished beyond them 9-10 should have to beat that team twice.
We'll wrap with your Celtics calls coming up, and then we'll segue into the final hour of Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub next.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Jaylen Brown, and home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
They're important games. They're all important right now. But certainly when you're playing against a team that's as good as they are, and it looks like they're also getting full or close to it. The team that we're playing, it's just like tonight. It's not the 6th or 7th place Miami team. When they're full, they are a monster. We'll have our hands full and we'll get ready for them tomorrow. And yes, it is a big game, but they all are right now.
Celtics coach Brad Stevens talking about the upcoming games with the Miami Heat. First of two tomorrow afternoon. Tip off at 1 o'clock. Catch it here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Then they take them on again Tuesday. And then the remainder of the schedule is at Cleveland, at Minnesota, a week from tonight. Well, TBD. Who knows when the hell that game's going to tip off. And then Sunday at the New York Knicks. And I now thinking about this, and we've had a few people tweet to us too. So apparently Brad Stevens said on Zolak and Bertrand in his usual weekly spot, there's no shot of Kemba Walker playing back-to-back games. So looking at this, then I feel good with what I said. Kemba plays tomorrow. Kemba plays Tuesday. If you need him, you play him Sunday against the Knicks for seeding. But other than that, that's it. Like, he plays these two games against Miami. And if you can't beat Cleveland and Minnesota without Kemba, well, you reap what you sow. You deserve to be in the play-in round. Yay, holes.
I mean, I guess I look at it and say, again, I didn't hear the sound. So it sounds like he said, you know, he's not going to play back to back. So
well, that's on Twitter. It's got to be true
until it matters. I would argue it matters now. It matters now. Now, I'm not saying he has to play both sets of back to backs, but whether it's the Minnesota Knicks one or it's Miami and then Cleveland, to me, he has to play one of these back to backs. He has to. Like, you're at the point in the year where you need these games. You cannot afford to give away any of these games, any of them. And so I look at it and say, you are at the point where the games matter. You're basically in the playoffs now, in playoff mode now. If you think he's healthy enough to do it, you got to do it.
Well, keep in mind, again, a caller, I think it was Rory in New Hampshire, that was applauding me for winning him some money. And yes. Usually the prognosticating and the gambling is for the other Murray, Joe Murray. But I said yesterday on Felger and Mass, keep in mind, the last time the Celtics played the Bulls, Chicago had lost 5 of 6, 13 of 8. Celtics lost that game. Last night going into that game, Bulls had lost 4 of 5 and 11 of 16. Celtics lost that game. Keep an eye on Wednesday. Cleveland Cavaliers, they stink. They've lost 9 in a row, 14 of 16. They play 2 more games before they take on the Celtics at home Wednesday night. Last time these two played each other, St. Patrick's Day, Celtics lost. Just keep that one in mind.
Yeah, Isaac Okoro's really come on for them, too. Their rookie, he had like a 32-point night this week. He started to get a little better. They've also been, I don't know what's going on there from an injury standpoint, but it seems like they're almost sort of balancing. Like Garland and Sexton aren't playing on the same nights. So I'll be curious to see if that happens when they play the Celtics. Can I just throw something in here quickly?
Please.
On Miami? Just
bro.
Because obviously they won last night against Minnesota. Did you see or hear any of the stuff with Jimmy Butler talking trash to Karl Anthony Towns?
Oh, no. Well, oh, no, there was great. A thing with them between those two when they were yep. in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, Jimmy Butler slept with his girlfriend just because. But there's sound that you can hear where Jimmy Butler is telling Kat, you're a loser. You're still a loser.
Oh.
Yes,
oh.
yes, yes. You know, because there's not as many people in the stands. They were going at each other. And Jimmy Butler, you can hear him audibly telling Karl Anthony Towns he's a loser.
Oh, that's so great. I love him and his mentality. He is just like, he's all about one thing, getting those wins at all costs. And you're going to pay me for that coffee in the bubble, too.
So, now, somebody's claiming like, it went too far. He shouldn't have said it. But yeah, Butler called Towns a loser. He says, I already punked you once. Butler also said to Towns he was soft as baby poo. And then Towns appeared to tell Butler to call Rachel Nichols. I don't know what that means.
Hmm. Either way, I love it. And that's the kind of mentality the Celtics could use, you know, with the talent that comes with it, too. Ricky in the car on the Celtics. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to go back to something Forsberg said, that the Celtics put a premium on wings. Until they change that philosophy, they're never going to win a championship, because championships are won and lost at the rim. That's the way it's always been, and that's the way it's always going to be. Unless you have a generational player like Jordan or LeBron, Bird, et cetera, that's the way it's always going to be. So I don't.
How do you explain the Golden? How do you explain Golden State then? How do you explain the Golden State Warriors?
I knew you were going to say that, Chris. I swear to God, I knew you were going to say it, because the league was transitioning at the time. So if you have an Hakeem Olajuwon and they went up against Golden State, mm-hmm. who do you think's gonna win? You just punish them inside all day long. Listen, it's a simple philosophy. What's the higher percentage shot, a 20-footer or a 7-footer?
I mean, obviously a 7-footer, but you got to do the three. I mean, the percentage matters because the math matters. If you shoot 40% from three, that's basically 50% from two. That's why all these teams play this way.
The league was transitioning at the time. The centers were becoming obsolete.
True.
Listen, I've been watching basketball for 50 years. The majority of championships, and it's a high majority, Danny Ainge should know this.
All right, Ricky, I'm going to let you
know.
No,
it's a fair point in terms of Kevin Garnett and all that. I'm just saying, look, I'm not saying, I don't think your best player has to be a center. I just think you have to be good on defense and have some rim protection. The correct answer to the Golden State thing would have been like, Draymond Green's a really good defender.
Yeah, he's got me thinking too, because I'm hungry. You know who else puts a premium on wings? Me. I open up a menu. I see those on the apps. I'm getting your wings. They got me. Yeah, someone tweeted me the other day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.